Welcome to the Dildork, Storky Discourse on Sex, Dating, and Masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and a frequent smoker of weed. Who are you, friend?
I'm Billy Lohr. I am a sex educator and porn maker, and I, too, enjoy the devil's lettuce.
Yes, it's that time again, folks. Every year, the week of 420, I don't know why I'm telling this in a tone of voice as if it's like a story from the Bible or something.
Ye old fable.
We do our hypotheticals episode, which is where we get very, very blazed and answer a bunch of questions that were submitted by listeners, which are silly, funny hypotheticals about sex, dating, masturbating, kink, queerness, etc. And this year again, I'm going to encourage you to join us in celebrating 420 by also donating to an organization such as The Last Prisoner Project, which is an organization that works to end the fundamental injustices in the enforcement of cannabis prohibition laws in the U.S. and works to free the tens of thousands of individuals unjustly imprisoned for cannabis. You can find that at lastprisonerproject.org. There's also a similar organization in Canada at cannabisamnesty.ca. And yeah, that would just be a really nice thing to do because it's fucked up that people are in jail for this shit, especially in places where they've since legalized it. Like, what? Yeah. That just, it's like, what are those lawmakers smoking? Am I right? Anyway, what else do we normally do in the intro here? I don't know. All I remember is that eventually we smoke.
Right. I mean, I think we just set up, people know what hypotheticals are at this point. People know the spiel that we're going into. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a great list of questions this year. Our listeners really, really came through. There are 28 things on the list of like finalists that I picked, but there's no way we're getting through that many. So we'll just see.
No, but I am excited because I have like glanced at a couple of them, but mostly I've just had you excitedly texting me being like, we're getting some really great ones. So
yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
All right. Should we smoke? Is it smoke o'clock?
Yeah. Do we do the silly sound effect?
There will be a sound effect. And when we come back, we will be high. See you then. All right. We're back. We're back and we're high and we're ready to answer some questions.
And we have so many bloops already. Just banking them early.
I figured I would start with one that's like a little more cerebral maybe because we might not be capable of it later. This one says, if you had the power to make one sex act or kink completely socially acceptable and destigmatized, which one would it be and why?
Oh, no.
And my question about this is, if we do this, are we raising the odds that more people will do it non-consensually, like what has happened with choking, where like it has become less stigmatized, but more people are therefore doing it without checking if it's okay? Like, that's kind of my concern with this question.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. You took this in a very different direction than I did. I, on the other hand, you said that, and I, the pervert into taboo is like, ew, what? Why? No. I shall not. What do you mean everyone be okay with the things that I'm into? Ugh.
It is paradoxical because even if you're like, I want to make it less taboo for people to be into taboo, then that's like, no, that doesn't make sense.
Right. And well, like, I wasn't even thinking specifically taboo. I'm just thinking, like, broadly.
Yeah.
Like, so many of the kinks I am into because there is some degree of social stigma and I have fetishized it. Mm-hmm. So, like, yes, make the stigma go away. God, no one can see what my faces are doing, but that's fool. My faces are doing many things. Yes, I would like to get rid of the social stigma and things. And also, I have fetishized it. But give me a second. If I can think about this a second, I betcha I can find something.
I have two answers.
Oh, great, good. Because I betcha I could find a clever thing I could do with this. I don't know.
Okay.
Let me hear.
Okay. I am thinking about this question in like through the lens of like utilitarian philosophy, in that I'm trying to think about how can I do the greatest good for the most people with this question.
Yes, and that's what I was trying to articulate. Great, thank you. I'm going to let you talk. Once again, you're over here being clever. I'm over here being high. Keep talking.
So my two answers that I've come up with, one of them is pee/water sports, both because it's a relatively common kink and because this would significantly lessen the stigma around squirting as well at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, I guess, third benefit might be that it would be slightly less embarrassing to pee your pants if that ever happens. Like, I'm not sure about that, I guess, but
Yeah.
And my other answer that I was thinking was feet, because it is supposedly the most common fetish, although hard to know how we're defining fetish when people say that stat. And I think that a lot of people could get into the idea of like receiving foot worship and that kind of thing if they didn't have like a bunch of their own hangups around like insecurities around their feet and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like social preconceptions that feet are inherently gross, or that like being into them is gross.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And now I'm over here like, those are both well-reasoned decisions. And those are both kinks that are like so about humiliation sometimes. Like, not always, but like, why don't take it away from me though.
That's so true.
So like, as you were talking, I'm like, this is brilliant. Yes. And how would that change someone's relationship to, because you're not taking away, like making the fetish socially acceptable implies that the fetish is still going to exist. So what does that fetish look like with no social stigma around those things? And I got lost in that, and now I still don't have an answer to this question.
Yeah, because without the taboo nature of what pee is, like, what are you really into? It's like the taste and smell of it. And just the general, like, having someone's fluids on you.
And that is a, like, quantity and volume of fluid that you can't get through many other things, it's right? True.
Yeah.
Like, someone can piss on, pretty much anyone can piss on someone for, like, a long time. And all they need is, like, an hour or two and some bottles of water. Like, it's not... to come on someone in that quantity or anything else, even if you're a person with a vulva, like, is going to be challenging. So if you really want to douse someone in something, I suppose that could be what you could fetishize. And you can, obviously, smell and taste can be particularly pungent for folks who are into, like, BO type things.
Mm-hmm.
Viscerally a smell of, like, the person.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I still have to answer the actual question you posed to me. Oh, no. I have an answer I'm happy with. Good.
Okay.
I don't have to say dominance and power, because we need to be having more discussions about those things. Mm-hmm. Because I do like the taboo of dominance and power, and I don't want to lose it. So instead, I'm going to present to you role play, which everyone thinks is like really cheesy.
That's a really good answer. Fuck.
And what we need to do is just like discuss it as like grown-up playtime. And if role play, the big category, is destigmatized, all the little shit within that category can stay fucked up and sexy.
God, this is such a smart answer.
See, I told you I could get there.
We're starting so strong.
Proud of it.
Yeah, that's really good. That would change so much shit. That would help so many people feel less ashamed and more able to bring stuff up. Just, yeah, really good shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whoever's in charge of this kind of thing should hire you.
Absolutely. And pay me well. Oh, and people would feel so much more comfortable feeling silly in the bedroom.
Yes.
Like, just talking during sex and being, and, like, giggling and, like, doing something that would, quote-unquote, ruin the mood, like, that right. would so much be less of a fear because it would happen so much more often and people would be talking about it so much more because, you know, everyone role plays, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it'd be great.
Yeah, that's excellent. I want to live in that world.
Me too.
Okay, second question. If you could only experience one type of orgasm for the rest of your life, which would you choose and why? And thinking about this, I think that there's sort of two different ways you could answer this, because one of them is like type of orgasm as classified by anatomy, so like G-spot or clitoral or penile or whatever. But another one would be like, what combination of stimuli would you commit to forever? Like a vibrator and a dildo or like oral sex or, you know.
Right. So my brain initially took it in the former direction. And like, frankly, here's the thing. I like subscribe to the latter more as a way of classifying types of orgasms and types of experiences because it feels more broadly applicable, right? I wouldn't go to someone and be like, well, have you had a G-spot orgasm yet? Like versus, you know, like, no. However... In my experience, I have had, like, I can classify the kind of orgasms I've had into different buckets in the same way I can classify, like, the different flavors of subspace I experience, right?
Yeah.
And you asked which orgasm I would, sorry, what was it?
Which type of orgasm you'd
I would have for the rest of my life, right?
Yeah.
Which particular type I would have for the rest of my life. And, just viscerally, I knew the answer immediately, and it was a spot because, like, it's that the like really, really deep one that turns your brain off. That one is the one that, like, yeah, woof.
Yeah, my brain went to immediately a spot in combo with clit stim. If anybody is a recently hopped onto the Dildorks bandwagon. If you don't know what the A-spot is, it's the anterior fornix. It is an erogenous zone. Why did I say erogenous? I can't A-spot. Can't do the sex science talk when I'm high.
No. It was a Kate Sloan portmanteau. Run with it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes. It's the an erogenous zone. It's deep inside the vagina. It's deeper than the G-spot. It's sort of like right in front of the cervix. And it's a big thing for both of us. And yeah, that's what I would pick. I would really miss G-spot stim, to be honest. And I do love a good like clit-only orgasm sometimes. I have them pretty often. But yeah, I would just miss A-spot stuff like more than either of those things.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that that's got to be it. And also, as you said, like it has brain effects for me that are really like either impossible to achieve or like much harder to achieve with other methods. And for me, like one of the main ones is like it makes me cry, like in a very deep cathartic way. Not all
that
the time, but sometimes. And I would miss that.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I like, yeah, because with my dick, it's like I would miss those because they're particularly gender affirming.
Right.
Because it feels very focused there and you can feel like the throbbing and shit, which is really fucking neat. But like, and G-spot stuff has that like, because I fucking squared, it has that like feeling of release that is pretty incomparable. Right. But like, I don't have to give up squirting and I don't have to come to squirt. Right. Like, that's not always simultaneous. So I can still have that feeling. That's fine. And then, like, but, like, A-spot stuff, it's the brain thing you're talking about. It just, like, it is both full body and a little emotional. Like, it's just fucking, it just shuts everything down.
Yeah.
And that's the shit that, like, is the fun kind of mindless kind of... Anyway, those are the ones I would keep forever.
There's got to be an evolutionary reason that the A-spot does that, right? Like,
no, but I don't want to think about it. Because there is, and it ends in babies.
I know, but it's interesting to think about, especially through the realm of, like, breeder fetish.
It is. It is. No, my breeding fetish ends in where I could actually get pregnant. I am exclusively in it for the cum. But breeding is what it's called these days. I'm sure I'll take it. I don't, whatever.
I'm exclusively in it for the cum. Why is that so funny?
I couldn't look at you because I knew I'd lose my train of thought, and it was like ghosting away, and I had to grab it. But like, oh my god, I love that I had fully moved on, and I look back and you're still giggling. I love this.
I just it hit me belatedly.
Yeah, well, so what hit me belatedly in the middle of this conversation is fisting orgasms.
Huh.
I know.
Can those be? I guess those can't really be ace body, right? Like, you're not really getting that deep back there with that.
It's not. Yet you're not quite getting the precision. It's more about girth. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd miss it. But I don't think I'd miss it enough to give up ace spot stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I feel that. Yeah. We got two questions that are sort of like, they have a similar spirit to them, so I'm going to group them together. One of them was about, like, this person wrote, the Museum of Sex just called. They want you to curate an exhibit. What do you go with and why? And I did want to say, I think I'm allowed to say this, we're actually being featured in a Museum of Sex exhibit. I don't have the details in front of me because it's hypotheticals and I'm blazed as shit, but we may announce this at some point. I think it's the Miami Museum of Sex is featuring a very small clip from our podcast. So
yeah, it's like part of a compilation of something, of media for something that they want to do, right?
Yeah, that's about as much as I can recall.
All I know is you asked me about a clip and I was like, how about a clip with this voice now? And you were like, how about this one? And I was like, those all do they this voice? Great. Mm-hmm. That one.
Yep. I fixed it. It's all good.
That's why I love you.
I love you too. But the other question that I thought went together with it well, which I thought you might prefer to answer, a listener wrote, you've been put in charge of building an adults-only theme park the size of Disneyland. Money is not an issue, you don't have to worry about decency laws, and you have trade professionals who can accurately reproduce your vision. What's the headlining attraction that ends up all over the publicity campaign? I was like, this person knows you.
I love this. Okay. The Museum of Sex question, the exhibit is a bit of leather history. Maybe I'd pick the New York City because I love New York. Maybe I pick an era that I particularly love. Maybe go back as like the 60s or 70s because I'm like really into the media from that era and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe porn or something, or just something about the history of that something or other, because I would have a lot of fun immersing myself in that for a little while. That'd be neat. Disneyland. Okay.
Is it Disneyland? Is that anything? Have I made that joke on this show before? Probably.
Almost certainly. You've been doing this show with me for how long? I have Hercules and Flynn Rider and Gaston nudes behind me as we speak. The audio got weird there because I was moving to reveal each of them on this audio medium.
I liked it. I appreciated it.
Good. So, yeah. Good. Oh, God. Y'all think I'm animated on this, once again, audio medium when I'm sober. Whew. My audio must be all over the place right now.
It's okay. That's for later me to deal with.
It is, and I love you. Okay. Headline attraction. I don't have to. The problem is I'm trying to build all of Disneyland. I'm like, great. So we have a wheel and spoke situation where we're looking at different worlds and each what themes for the worlds. No, I have to pick one attraction. Okay.
Yeah, I think given that our show is only about an hour, that's probably a good way to go.
Reasonable. Fair enough. I will be thinking about this forever.
Yeah. Put together a proposal. Shop it around.
Don't put it past me. So, okay. My inclination is to lean into what they have in terms of tech and personalization of rider experience in their more recent rides. I'm thinking in the way like Test Track lets you customize things before you get on the ride and it adjusts your experience as you go through. People may not know what I'm talking about. It's fine. I'm just
My spouse going. Does. They're listening to this being like, yeah.
Great.
Good shit.
Amazing. So like my inclination is to lean towards that, right? They have, for a while now, Disney has been using these wristband systems that RFID, I believe. God, sober me could explain this so much better. They allow you to boop your wristband on things and it knows who you are, right? It's linked to your park ticket and whatever. In ride systems, they use it so that you can boop a thing in the beginning of the ride, make some selections, and keep booping it throughout the ride and keep getting it personalized to you, right? Like, keep seeing your own selections throughout the ride. I would do something like that to build a choose-your-own-adventure-style fantasy creator kind of thing, right?
Almost like the holodeck.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Some kind of immersive experience that allows you to go through and, I mean, presumably if we're talking Disneyland, we have a character type experience, right? So we would have some sort of immersive actors around there. Something that can, like, have an experience that is customized as you go through it. I don't know, I'm walk through haunted house kind of vibe, something like this, right? That like actors throughout are given, I'm obviously weaving Sleep No More, another current hyper-focus of mine, into this, and also your spouse's. but like, so I was just gonna make that explicit, but like, something that allows these actors to get previews of information that you've already given so that things can magically seem customized to you, while building in this also conscious kind of choose your own adventure element that allows you to explore your fantasy and like it'll be pitched and billed as like, you know, learn more about yourself and your fantasies and these sort of things, like, right. Discover what kind of pervy things you're into, depending on how edgy we're making the marketing, like this kind mm-hmm. of thing. Right. Explore the darker sides of your fetishes. Right. And it would have all of these weaving paths that you could explore based on your choices and your preferences. To have a like semi-customized experience to try out a feeling and see if it's hot.
That's really.
And like, yep. I'm not thinking detailed kink tasting. Like, you're not getting suspended in there, right?
Right.
But like, you're going into like, you get shuffled from a medical place that like, there's a fork between like a medical play style room or an abduction style room, right? And you get in there and you like play out one of a few scenarios with someone in there, right? Or they just suddenly know a secret thing because it's in your file and you booped yourself at the door, right?
Right.
That kind of vibe, but just enough that you can get like a few branching routes that you can get a taste of a few different flavors, I suppose.
Yeah, I think people would go to that for sure.
I want to go to that. I want to build it.
My
Give
mind
me Disney money.
Went, yeah, that would, they really yeah. should let you do that. I was thinking initially like kissing booth style glory hole, like
Ooh.
Maybe you get paired with, or like maybe the staff would do the sort of pre-negotiation pairing screening type stuff for you to match you with someone. And then I started thinking, actually, this would be such a good opportunity for like a hypno kink, like guided pleasurable or orgasmic experience kind of thing, like a dark room with like a big spiral at the front, or I don't know.
Okay. Really, really, really quick though. It's a theme park. And you know what you get at theme parks that you don't get anywhere else?
What?
Crowds. If you're playing with Hypno, you can make drone factories or any sort of other like big where like it's the line ride. Like the queue could be part of the experience with like Hypno stuff a lot. I mean, Disney is really known for making like extending the ride throughout the queue to make you maybe okay with the fact that they're trying to make you stand there for 2 hours. It's still not okay. Not fucking okay with it. Gonna do it. 1000% gonna do it anyway. But like, and gonna ooh and ah at every fucking cute thing you put in front of me. I'm gonna love it all. Still grumpy about it. But anyway, yeah, no, you could do it like all kinds of weird, like, yeah, no, I would absolutely make a like some kind of conversion factory type something or other that you, because you can walk through it and the fact that the park is crowded and that there is a massive, like, it adds to the experience. Anyway, that's neat. Sorry, I had an idea.
Yeah.
And I had to yell.
And just to clarify, when you said conversion, you did not mean the type that tries to make queer and trans people not those things.
No. I mean the hypnosis kind that makes you into a mindless little fuck slave.
Yeah. Hi friends, it's me, Sober Kate, who is editing the show. Just dropping in to let you know that this week's drug-fueled episode of the Dildorks is sponsored by friends of the show, HypnoStory and Panda, and their HypnoKink 101 online class. If you've been curious about getting into HypnoKink, which I wouldn't blame you if you've heard some of the Hypno episodes of this show, you're definitely going to want to take a look at this class, found at pandastory.love/101. It features foundational HypnoKink education from negotiation and safety to inductions and deepeners to fractionation and suggestions to aftercare and troubleshooting. It's all broken down into 13 professional quality video lessons, totaling a whopping 5 hours of practical hands-on hypno instruction, all with closed captions and full text transcripts. There's also handouts for some of the key concepts for those of you who prefer to learn by reading rather than watching. The instructors, Panda and HypnoStory, are Dildorks listeners themselves, so I'd say their vibes are pretty aligned with ours. They're also both queer, non-binary, and neurodiverse, and their approach to teaching is as inclusive and accessible as they know how to make it. This HypnoKink 101 course is designed to take folks who are interested in or curious about HypnoKink all the way through to being ready to do their first scene. And maybe since this is the 420 episode, you might want to make your first hypno scene something about drug play, not involving any actual substances, just hypnosis. I don't know, that would be pretty cool. I don't know, just an idea. Again, you can check out the course at pandastory.love/101. That's pandastory.love/101, or just click the link in our show notes if that's easier. And you can even use our code DILDORKS15, that's DILDORKS15, to get 15% off. Thanks for the support. Now back to the show. I honestly don't really have anything in mind for the museum exhibit. Like, I really enjoyed the Betty Dodson exhibit that they did that had, like, a bunch of her art. And I guess I would like to see, like, an exhibit about, like, on the note of Betty Dodson, like, the history of the wand vibe. Like, that's just something I'm very interested in. And I think that there would be a lot of interesting, like, patents and...
And you would be good at and enjoy curating it. Because isn't that the question, that you're the person who gets to sit down and, like...
Yeah.
Pick through all of this.
Yeah, that would be nerdy AF. I'd be into that.
That is 1000% what you would pick.
Yep. Okay, here's one that I wrote. This is just something that I personally wonder about a lot. Do you think that people who do video game speed runs also rush through sex?
So my first impulse was... No, where would that correlation come from? But then my second impulse was to sit down and think, like, okay, well, where does the impulse to speedrun a video game come from? And I think it comes from, like, I imagine being able to do that gives a feeling of, like...
Achievement.
Competence. Yeah, accomplishment, like... how I feel after enduring a heavy masochism scene. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like a badass afterwards, right? Like, holy shit, I did that thing. Neat. Mm-hmm. So it depends on how you define rush through sex, right? So the question is rushing through sex rushing to get yourself off or rushing to get your partner off? And part B, I suppose, is does the speedrunner in question view orgasm as the goal of sex?
Probably.
Then I would say they are likely to rush to get their partner off.
Yeah.
Because I could see that giving them their same kind of endorphin and dopamine, whatever.
Yeah.
And or like, see, what I'm butting up against with that is rush has such a bad connotation.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there are certainly people who won't want to feel rushed towards orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
But like, someone who likes to get their partner off quickly and or often, which seems adjacent to that, right? Like, yeah. If I can do it fast, that doesn't mean I want sex to be over fast necessarily.
Right.
And again, if you're getting off on that feeling of achievement, there is certainly already a societal feeling of achievement in getting someone off multiple times. So like, I don't know that I would say, this feels like I'm like defending speedrun. I can't name someone who's speedrun a video game. I don't
see that. I sold them
for a while. I played them on occasion. That's what I do not watch any of the. I'm an old man. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I do think about speedrunner psychology sometimes because I do have crushes on several of them. And I think you're completely right that what the speedrunner really wants to do, if we can even extrapolate that their approach to other things in life is their approach to video games, is to optimize or like to min-max, like maximum output for minimum input, which is, I think, a video gaming term. And I know a gamer who likes to get his partner off like dozens of times during sex. And like, that's kind of what he likes about it. And I could totally see that those are related because, yeah, it's like achievement unlocked.
Well, and I don't think it's a leap to extrapolate because, yeah, you can extrapolate out like this drive toward to like optimize things that I think could crop up in a lot of places in someone's life. And that is certainly a personality type, I think, right?
Yeah.
Or at least a core facet of one, right? You picture a person in your head when you say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that is necessarily true. Certainly can be. But I do think, like, extrapolating their approach to leisure or what they find satisfying or what they do with, like, recreationally probably slash mostly. I think that is that, like, I think information you garner from there is actually probably slightly more indicative of the things they enjoy while fucking than like not.
Yeah. Yeah. This kind of extrapolation is largely what I enjoy about reading and writing fan fiction because there's so many characters in fiction who you're like, oh, I really like that particular personality trait or motivation or objective that they have, but like if this is true, what else is true? Like where else in their life are they exhibiting this? And I used to do it all the time with Jake Peralta in Brooklyn Nine-Nine fanfic where like he's a detective, he loves to figure shit out, and that is my kink, to be figured out in that way.
And your fanfiction is what got me watching that show. Now you're on a Succession hyperfocus and like
it's there's a relationship on Succession that is like older woman in her 60s being really mean, condescending and verbally humiliating to a man who's about 40 and is this like sniveling spoiled rich boy. Ooh. And he's really into it, but they never actually have sex. They only like talk on the phone and talk like through walls and shit. And I'm like,
I can imagine you're having fun with that.
It's really like, yeah, I am very hyper focused on it right now.
Because I've seen your tweets, but I haven't looked at any of the fic because I know literally nothing about the show.
Yeah, I don't think it would really land in the same way.
Right. But whenever you are captivated by a dynamic, I am always a little fascinated.
There are like compilations of all their scenes together, but those also like kind of wouldn't make sense without the context. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I am 1000% like I will watch hours of media to understand like a little subtle reference somewhere in a movie so I can do the like, because I find it really satisfying. So I wouldn't watch a cut. I would just wind up getting into it, unfortunately, if I did.
I mean,
we'll see.
It really wouldn't be the worst thing. If you ever want me to pitch you on it, let me know.
Yeah, I might. I might hit you up. Right now I'm deep in Voyager, but we'll see what's next.
So while we're talking about pop culture-y stuff, let's do this question. If you could choose any celebrity to provide a guided masturbation session for you, who would it be and why?
I saw this one in the chat, Neil Gaiman.
I knew you were going to say Neil Gaiman the moment I saw this question.
Have y'all heard his voice?
He does have a very hot voice, I have to say.
What links Viking and Greek? Gods and myths. It's a lovely question because there are things that are similar. But what really links them, I think, is people.
It's just, it's a good voice. I like his flavor of storytelling because it feels like storytelling. Somewhere along the way, I heard him telling a quote about his stories, talking about how they are like designed to be retold. He may be specifically talking about his tellings of the Norse fables, but whatever. I don't know. He would tell a good story, and I like the way he writes about pain. So, like, yeah. With the caveat, I hate audio erotica.
And like
narrative, that kind of thing. But like in a reality in which I was in, I would try it. If Neil Gaiman made me a personalized one, I would learn to be into it is what would happen.
Yeah, I think there is really only one answer for me that it can possibly be, which is Penn Badgley, which is kind of fucked up because the place where I know his voice from the most is the show You, where he does murder and torture a bunch of people. But he just has such a hot voice.
Well, hello there. Who are you? Based on your vibe, student. Your blouse is loose. You're not here to be ogled, but those bracelets, they jangle. You like a little attention. Okay, I bite.
And like that show has so much of his voiceover in it. There's so many scenes where like there's very minimal or no dialogue and it's just him doing voiceover. And he does this like, he does a voice that's like lower than his regular voice. It's like leaning into vocal fry territory. It's very chilling, but also like all the best qualities of Christian Grey kinds of vibes, like very dominant and confident, and that's how I read it anyway. And that would fuck me up, I think.
that sounds very particularly targeted at you.
Why haven't I written any you fan fiction? I don't know. I guess I just don't really want to write a murder. It's just like not really in my heart.
Right, and it's not your style of writing. Yeah. And like, well, I don't know. You is very much, I haven't seen it, but it's very much from his point of view, right?
Yeah.
So presumably the fic would be as well. And he's doesn't seem like a character whose head you want to sit in. He's someone you want to.
Even Penn Badgley is like, I don't want to be inside this guy's
head.
Well,
that too. But like, I mean, you as a, like, I don't know. You don't, you wouldn't get off on being that guy. You'd get off on being hurt by that guy.
Yeah, like, my preferred flavor of unrequited desperate longing is more in the like 80s teen drama flavor of that, you know? Mm-hmm. That's my comfort zone.
Now, again, this pitch, I need going to caveat this. This pitch is coming from someone who has not seen the show and is very high. But could you, in the way that like old procedurals used to have the like random theme episodes, could you do like suddenly an 80s theme, an 80s skin on, or an 80s AU on you?
Yes.
Make him a whiny, unrequited longing
boy? I could, but I feel like you can't do Joe without murder. I just feel like it's actually fundamental to his character.
80s murder is still a very different kind of murder. I'm not saying this is now the story you need to pitch, and now I'm just imagining a story that would be interesting to me.
Yeah, I'll ponder that one. I will think that over, because yeah, alternate universe fics are very interesting. I always find it funny when people are like, you know, I'm going to do this Shakespeare play, but what if it was a soap opera or like whatever?
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Okay. Would you rather be able to read your partner's mind during sex and they could also read yours, or have no insight into each other's thoughts during sex at all? Why? And I don't know if this implies that you can't, because if that implies that you can't dirty talk, then that, I know that you're not going to choose that.
Right. Okay. Give me the wording on reading my partner's mind during sex. What am I signing up for here?
Would you rather
to check contracts today.
Would you rather be able to read your partner's mind during sex, so not at other times?
Be able to. Is that what it says?
Because
if that's what it says, 1,000% that.
Yeah, I guess the deal is, I think that, by the way, that this question may have been generated by ChatGPT, because my partner tried to have the robot do that. So that may
be.
Great,
then I am triple checking the robot on this one.
Yeah. It seems to be that, yeah, you could choose to read your partner's mind during sex, but if you do that, it's like the two-way channel is open. Like, you have no control over how, like, they are just hearing all of your
thoughts. But I can close it.
Theoretically, yes. If we're looking at the wording, yeah.
Right.
That seems better, yeah.
Be telepathic. Then yes, 1,000%. Like, I don't want to
That would be like
flooded.
Getting your brain fucked. Someone just opens the telepathic channel, like.
So here's the thing. Okay? Here's the thing. Let me explain it to you. Got you. Let me give you my sales pitch here.
Okay.
I don't want this shit if I am just, whenever I am fucking my partner, I know whatever they are thinking about at all times. No, thank you. Right.
Yeah, that's not my goddamn business.
Exactly. And I don't want to like not be able to look away from it. You know what I mean? I don't want it to be like shared with my own thoughts in like shared priority. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
However, if we're talking about a little channel that I can have, that like when we decide, we can open a little doorway and I can kind of look over there and see their thoughts. And also have my thoughts, right? My partner is pretty nonverbal during sex.
Mm.
And a thing we play with a lot is I will, like, especially when they're pretty subspacey or pretty overwhelmed, or when I've made them come too many times that they can't breathe, you know, any of these things, right? I like playing with that. And I like forcing them to try and talk through that. And we are people who role play a lot and have like really immersive role play stories that we will either set up in advance or like find out in the middle that we're suddenly into this, like actually thinking about the same thing because we're kept picking up on each other's subtle cues and like are in a well-worn, like, familiar roleplay to us, and we just didn't even explicitly talk about it, whatever, right? So, like, those two things being true, being able to open this little channel becomes real convenient, right? Because we can really flesh out and communicate so much more about our roleplays if we are, like with this channel where we neither of us have to actually say it with our mouths and mm-hmm. figure out how to articulate it,
yeah.
right? We can weave this, like, really we could potentially, once we learn how to work this thing, weave this really intricate story together mm-hmm. and exist in this kind of shared reality for a second. That would be really fucking neat to do. I'd be excited to use that tool.
Yeah.
And trying to force them to say shit while knowing what they're thinking and could be saying. Ugh.
Another layer to play on, yeah.
Just so much better, right? Mm-hmm. Especially because, like, we play with that, like, either find the words to say it while I am hitting you or overwhelming you or making you come or whatever. Mm-hmm. And also find the words to say this humiliating, embarrassing, filthy thing that you are into. But, like, say it with your whole face, please. Cute. Isn't that fun? Right? And again, if I have access to what's in your head and without you having to be able to say it and then can force you to say it.
I love that you're just doing movie villain hand gestures while you're saying
I am. It's so good. And, like, to be clear, you said your partner, so I'm thinking about my partner D and things I would do to them. I would also 1,000% bottom to, I think, everything I have said thus far, but certainly that last one. Oh, I love a forced confessional.
Yeah, I think that
I want to tell you all these things. Just force me to do it.
Who needs to consent in order for that channel to open? Like, are you able to turn on a setting like on a Love Ends toy where, like, if your partner asks for that consent, it's automatically given to them and they connect immediately? Or do you want to get the brain equivalent of a pop-up that goes, like, will you let this person take control?
I imagine it like a two-way door in a hotel, honestly.
Like either person can just do it at any time.
Well, where it's two doors right up against each other, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, my door can be closed and locked.
Oh, I
my
see.
Door can be unlocked. My door can be open. Mm-hmm. Your door can be any number of those things as well, right?
Right.
You could walk around with your brain door unlocked and open all the time.
Why are you doing hypno porn now?
Weird, filthy, free use thing. I don't know. But, like, no, probably, like, I imagine that setting, or whatever you want to call it, is a thing you would engage, I guess, if we're continuing the metaphor. With a person that you're in a particular connection with. And otherwise you would, like, I don't know, maybe leave your door unlocked. And if you hear someone open it, you're like, the fuck, who are you? And presumably you would also have the ability to be like, get the fuck out and lock the door again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good theory.
I apparently put a lot of thought into this, didn't realize it until I was saying it. You were like, how does this work? And I'm like, oh, it's a hallway with two doors on either end. Didn't you know?
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think we both thought about it with different metaphors. And so, yeah.
Brains are fascinating, man.
All right, next question. If you were trapped on a desert island and could only bring one kink accessory or implement with you, what would it be and why?
Well, I mean, rope, because it's the most likely to keep me alive. But I'm going to throw that answer out the window and come up with something more interesting.
Yeah, it's always so funny when people lean so hard into the actual deserted island aspect of these questions, when what it's really asking is, like, if you could only have one, what would it be?
Right. Okay. My answer is one of three things, and I think I've got it narrowed down to one. And I actually don't own it. It's my partner's. But it is a tiny black weighted paddle that we have. It is kind of shaped like a long, thin figure eight, but like not hollow, obviously. Mm-hmm. Articulating things is tricky when you're high. It's got a little, but it's got some weight in it, and it's just a simple little black paddle that fits really comfortably in my hand. And that is pretty versatile. I could use it with a lot of different people, right? A couple of the other things I had on the list, I have a black rubber cane that I fucking adore. And, like, I have two of them, so I could maybe get away with calling the pair one and do some fun stuff with that. And I also have something called a boingy stick from Hollow Leather. But it's just a little, yeah, little teeny tiny stick with the head at the end, like a little round head. And it's a spring, so it kind of bounces and it's weighted and you can whack people with it. And that's also quite fun. But both of those are a little bit more specialized or like unique in sensation.
Mm-hmm.
My weighted gloves are fun too, but they're such a bitch to get on and off. So I think it's that weighted paddle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with an impact implement as well. Because like a lot of the kinks that I'm into that are, like, require equipment, you don't like need, like, or you could at least fashion the equipment for something else. Like I'm thinking like bondage or like wearing a blindfold.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would go with, I have a truncheon from Wheel and Breach, which is sadly no longer with us as a company. It's honestly such a bummer. I'm really glad I stocked up before they closed down. But it's this like beautiful handmade bat with like finger grips and a nice leather strap. And I like that one because it's a really good balance between thuddy and stingy. And it's light enough that I can top with it as well, even though, like, I have hand strength issues sometimes. Mm. And it's just really gorgeous. That would make life on a desert island easier for me to cope with if I had that with me.
It would look really pretty on a desert island.
It would, yeah.
Yeah.
If you could experience firsthand a kinky scene from any movie or book, which one would you choose and why?
Oh.
This is hard.
No, unfortunately, it's not.
Are you going to say an American Gods whipping scene?
Uh-huh. No, not whipping. Okay. They're still well, so... caveat. Do I just get to experience it in a bubble without any repercussions?
Yeah.
Or does it have to be a survivable scene?
Oh shit.
On account of the guy dies.
Paging dick wound. I think it's just like when the scene ends, you're out. You're back in your own regular life.
Right. Cool. Okay, then that's fine. Spoilers for American Gods. So our main character, Shadow, is hung from a tree, which sounds like by the neck, but not, with rope, I believe, across the chest and, like, up in the legs and around there. Naked. From around the, like, trunk of the tree, mm-hmm. For days until death. And the pain is real pretty in the way they write about it.
I remember that scene. It's very memorable.
Yeah, it's real good. Including the mantra, it's easy. There's a trick to it. You do it or you die, which is a favorite of mine. That's where that comes from.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you picked a scene that is just abject suffering. Like, there's no upside to it.
Like, I could get birthed by the earth or let Bilquis eat me with her cunt, because both of those also sound great and are in American Gods. But just, I don't know, the rope in the tree is just real, real vivid in my head. So I'm going to have to go with that one, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. That checks out. Yeah. I'm kind of torn. I don't know if like a book of erotic short stories counts for this. So if that's cheating, I would go with the pivotal spanking scene in Secretary, because tensions are high. They've had this escalating DS dynamic while they're working together. But this is the first time that anything this extreme happens. And it's just such a moment of like breaking boundaries in a really hot way. And she's bent over a desk. And it's just oof. Like, oh, I love it. But as for this thing I'm thinking of from an erotica anthology, I think it may have been Rachel Kramer Bussell who wrote this. But there's this story about this woman who opens a restaurant where there's like a cunnilingus room in the back where like the patrons ooh. Who have vulvas can like go back there at some point during their meal and like receive head. And
is it like a secret thing that only the folks with vulvas know about, or is it just like, is it in the advertising on the restaurant?
I think it's openly advertised. I think the restaurant may have been called something like Secret Service or something like that.
Love that.
Yeah. But so there's
the just very different energies.
Yeah. The scene that happens in the erotica story is that the owner of the restaurant like has had a stressful day at work mm-hmm. and her sort of like right-hand man at the restaurant like sits her down in the back room and is like, no, I know that this restaurant is your fantasy and like you don't even get to like enjoy that fantasy because you're so stressed out about running the restaurant. Oh. So he just like goes down on her, which is just multiple layers of hotness and service submission all the way down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very you.
Yeah.
If we get to include erotica, I do need to mention Rocket's story in Nerve Endings,
okay.
which is just, it's so good. It's like kind of told in two parts. So the beginning is it's told from the point of view of a trans guy. In the beginning, they're jerking off and like fantasizing about, I think, a group scene or something, including the guy who works at the bar that they were just at, mm-hmm. The gay bar that they go to. And they have such a crush of the bartender at the gay bar, but he doesn't know that they're trans and they don't know how it's going to go or whatever. Oh, no, the fantasy is that he's getting fucked by the guy at the gay bar and his friend. And he gets, like, DP'd or something. And then later on, they have this, like, really tender scene where they go back and, like, the dude is into them and they hook up. And the dude's like, no, I haven't actually been with trans dudes, but, like, I would also like to very much. And, like, they have this really hot scene and, like, you have the tension of, like, they've been into each other for a while but also nervous about it and, like, what you were talking about. And it's just very into fucking in the back room of the gay bar, too. Like...
Sounds anyway, great.
I'm a faggot, yes. And it's a good scene. Yeah.
Okay. One last question. This one's a little introspective, a little serious. Mm-hmm. If you could communicate with your future self about your sex life, what advice or questions would you have for them?
I hope I don't have much advice for my future self. Like, I hope he's doing better than I am.
Yeah,
I
me don't, too.
Not that I'm doing terrible, but, like, I just generally hope my life is moving in an upward trend across its span, you know?
Yeah.
And, frankly, COVID is probably a dip for all of us, and we're still climbing out of that hole. Let's be honest with ourselves here. It is. We are actively being traumatized daily still.
Yeah.
Gonna take some time to unpack. So anyway, future me, who is no longer hopefully dealing with all of that, and is at a different place in my kink life, hopefully he has some advice for me. The conversation I would want to have with him probably is most about his relationship to kink and like specifically submission, I think, but like I don't know, fuck it, tell me where you're at, I guess. because, like, I have not done a ton of submitting in this gender, which is a thing that I am, like, hadn't quite realized, but between pandemic stuff and, like, gender stuff, I had top surgery 3 months before, in November of 2019. So, like, and 2020 was going to be my return to kink because I had taken a year or so off from, like, the scene and everything to save up for top surgery. So, like, yeah, I'm curious what that has kind of looked like, because it's been a hard thing to parse out without a ton of community around me because COVID and things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, presumably that guy has had some distance from all of that, and that guy has some more answers, and it's what I'm the most curious about. But, like, frankly, I'm not going to monopolize the conversation. You came back in time. Shit, do you have shit to tell me? Like, I don't... If you're here, yeah, and from the future, I'm going to trust you no more than me. You tell me whatever the fuck I need to know, Vaz.
Yeah, yeah.
Carry on, my friend. Been doing this longer, apparently.
Yeah, my question is also about kink. I've just sort of been through this years-long trauma therapy process, unpacking a lot of, among other things, daddy issues. And I'm kind of curious, and have been for a while, like, how some measure of healing would affect my, like, DDLG-type kinks. Because I have heard from some people that, like, when they did trauma healing work, some of their kinks just, like, weren't interesting to them anymore. Like, it does happen. So I'm very curious about that, not only for me personally, but also I think that that would just be interesting to me as, like, someone who's nerdy about sex psychology. Like, how does that work in this, like, study of one? So, yeah, I would be asking her, like, is that still something you're into? Is it still something that, like, resonates with you on, like, an identity level? Mm-hmm. How's that going? And I think that would give me a lot of information.
Plot twist. She's like, I'm daddy now.
Look, life is long. Like, you know, I don't know where things are going to go.
I am here for femme daddy Kate Sloan, frankly.
It's one of those things where it's like right now doesn't resonate or feel particularly good, but like you've often said about like your burgeoning foot fetish, I'm kind of like, I feel like that might be end game for me. I don't know. I really don't know.
Right. Like I was picturing like the sleekest, well-dressed version of you just like here from the future to be like, everything's great. I'm daddy now. Just fully color coordinated, looking fucking fantastic, and you're just like, great, that's where I'm going now.
It's like a pink leather jacket that says daddy on the back. Yeah.
Yes. I didn't have the daddy on the back in my head, but you hadn't turned around yet, so now it's there, and I love it. You were it was either a pink or turquoise leather jacket, though.
Yeah, pink with turquoise trim, I think, is the move.
Okay, yeah. It was like either something else was in the pant or shirt situation right. You still have, right?
Yeah.
And your hair looks impeccable.
Thank you. What a wonderful notion. Well, thank you for joining us for our 7th annual Hypotheticals Jesus episode. Christ. I know.
Did you count it? Are you sure?
Yep.
Fuck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why? How? I don't know. It is, because it's 2017, 18, 19, 20, no, I believe 21, you. 22, 23. Yeah, this is the 7th year.
Fucking hell.
Well, it's honestly a treasured tradition, and listeners, I am so glad to be able to share it with you.
This was a delightful time.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy the bloops also.
I liked this one a lot. I probably say that all the time, but I liked this one.
Yeah, this was lots of good questions. Thank you for those of you who submitted questions. I've been Kate Sloan. You can find me online at katesloan.com or girlyjuice.net. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. I have two books, 101 Kinky Things Even You Can Do and 200 Words to Help You Talk About Sexuality and Gender. I have a newsletter that goes out every week for $5 a month. That's at katesloan.email. And where is your stuff, friend?
I'm Billy. You can find all my porn and information about my workshops over at billylore.com. I'm also at billylore on Twitter and at billylore_ on Instagram. Together we are the Dildorks. We're over at thedildorks.com and at thedildorks on Twitter and Instagram. We're also at patreon.com/thedildorks, where you can toss a couple of bucks our way to help us keep doing this thing that we do. I swear often it is a valuable, valuable resource to the community. And sometimes it's these shenanigans. Fund our joy.
We do
joy.
A bunch of good sex education that we get to have little hypotheticals as a treat. I think we earned it.
We absolutely earned it. Fund our work and our joy. Patreon.com/thedildorks. $6 a month, you can hang out with us in our Discord. And for $12 a month, you get our Patreon-only bonus episodes, which are sillier than the normal show, but more serious than this.
Yes, usually.
Generally.
I want to say thank you to our top-tier Patreon supporters, Nat, Argo, Amelia, Amy, MB, and Stabitha Christie. We really appreciate your support. Thank you also to Protodome, who did our theme song. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
Oh my god, I have to do an outro.
You can do it.
God, I'm so high. Okay. My name is Billy Laura. Nope, that's my intro. The other one.
No, you can say that there.
Sure. Is that how I start it, though?
I always start mine with my name, so I think so, yeah.
I think it's how I start it. All right, God. Now I have the pressure to do the same one I always do. I don't know. I think I can do this.
They're not.
I know what I said.
That. No one is expecting that.
My boyfriend's expecting that. He knows it. He quotes me at me. I hate it. Whenever he wants to upset me, they will quote my own workshop at me, especially when I am not doing things that I teach in my workshop.
Oof, that's cold.
Never when we're fighting. Never in the, okay. Mostly when I'm sitting and in my sads and like whining about a thing. And they're like, have you considered talking about a thing or things like that?
Yeah.
When I already know the shit that I need to be doing, that's when they'll pull that. Mm-hmm. When I'm already just like sitting and just, I know my feelings, but I'm mad about them. Anyway, lots of rambling, but yeah, very different vibe. Or just when they want to be a gremlin for funsies.
Yeah.
I'm Billy. You can find me. There we go. I got it. I got it. I remember it. Here we go.
I don't have a strain name this year. It's just generic
sativa. That is what we usually talk about. Yeah. This one's ice cream cake. I fuck with this one. Ice cream sundae.
Sounds nice.
That makes sense. I've had ice cream cake before and was like, oh, it's fine. But I like really liked it this time. Apparently it's different. No. It was like advertised as like creative and like chill and relaxing. I was like, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. And I like tried it for the first time before bed last night and was sitting there and at like midnight and was like, good, so it'll like chill me out, maybe make me, you know, kind of sleepy before bed. No, I then stayed up for another hour and a half editing a 8-second Instagram reel advertising the ambulance porn that I made. Because I had a vision in my head and had been like, I don't need an Instagram trailer for my very explicit porn that they do not want me to advertise on Instagram. But I could have one, though.
So I love one. When it helps with creativity. It's so weird. I've been wanting to write a song about 69ing and couldn't quite get a handle on it. And then yesterday I smoked and it just mostly came out of me. And just a cute little song. It's like exactly what I wanted it to be. And I was like, thank you, Mary Jane. That's wonderful.
I love that. I saw that you had the little lyrics on Instagram earlier.
Yeah, I finished them. My favorite part, I was running into an issue near the end where the first draft of the lyrics made it sound like I was not really consenting to do 69 because of how ambivalent I am about it. And I was like, I don't want it to come across that way. I want to change that. So my favorite part near the end, it says, call it overrated or call it iconic. You can't see my baffled face when you are sitting on it.
Oh my God, I love that. That's fucking perfect. I'm going to go get a little bit of ice because I did not clean this, so I can take one more hit. Did I show you I got these? They're a little round ice cube tray thing.
Cute.
And they fit right in.
That's so Virgo of you.
I like measured all my bongs to make sure that I was getting a little ice mold with small enough spheres. It's called pebble ice. But then it's really satisfying. It's used,
it's used in a lot of tiki cocktails, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Use it for weed.
It's because when the ice is smaller, it melts faster, but in a more like steady, consistent over time kind of way, which is good for a certain type of drink. I don't know.
That makes sense in the way, like, because adjusting the size and shape of the ice would adjust the speed at which it dilutes, presumably.
Yeah.
And the quality. I do not booze. Do not
right.
know.
Right.
All right. It's going to make a really satisfying sound, though.
Okay.
It's going to do because the ice does that. It's great. Hi, it's me.
Hi.
Hang on, I need to talk. Hello, cat. Not for you yet. Don't yell at me. No. No. I don't care. Yes. Guess what? I'm sitting back down. I'm still recording, though. Do I have all the weeds? I have all the weeds. Okay. No. Don't you? Stop looking like you're going to jump up here. Love how she just appears in the corner of my screen for you. That's great. Just threateningly. That's great.
Yeah. I said hi to her, but she couldn't hear me.
Nah, that's fair.